2.
When we got outside of the Duke of New York, we vidded, by the main bar's long-lighted window, a burbling old pianista, or drunkie, howling away at the filthy songs of his fathers and going blurp blurp in between as it might be a filthy old orchestra in his stinking rotten guts. One vesh I could never stand was that. I could never stand to see a mooge all filthy and rolling and burping and drunk, whatever his age might be, but more especially when he was real starry like this one was. He was sort of flattened to the wall, and his platties were a disgrace, all creased and untidy and covered in cowl and mud and filth and stuff. So we got hold of him and cracked him with a few good horror show tolchocks, but he still went on singing. The song went, "And I will go back to my darling, when you, my darling, are gone." But when Dim fisted him a few times on his filthy drunkard's rot, he shut up singing and started to creech, "Go on, do me in, you bastard cowards. I don't want to live anyway, not in a stinking world like this one." I told Dim to lay off a bit then, because it used to interest me sometimes to slushy what some of these starry decreps had to say about life and the world. I said, "Oh, and what's stinking about it?" He cried out, "It's a stinking world because it lets the young get onto the old like you done, and there's no law nor order no more." He was creeching out loud and waving his rookers and making real horror show with the slovos, only the odd blurp blurp coming from his kishkas like something was orbiting within, or like some very rude interrupting sort of a mooge making a shoom. So that this old vet kept sort of threatening it with his fists, shouting, "It's no world for an old man any longer, and that means that I'm not one bit scared of you, my boyos, because I'm too drunk to feel the pain. If you hit me and if you kill me, I'll be glad to be dead." We smacked and then grinned but said nothing, and then he said, "What sort of a world is it at all? Men on the moon and men spinning round the earth like it might be midges round a lamp, and there's not no attention paid to earthly law nor order no more. So your worst you may do, you filthy, cowardly hooligans." Then he gave us some lip music, like we'd done to those young Millicents, and then he started singing again. "Oh, dear, dear land, I fought for thee and brought thee peace and victory." So we cracked into him lovely, grinning all over our litsos, but he still went on singing. Then we tripped him, so he laid down flat and heavy and a bucket load of beer vomit came whooshing out. That was disgusting, so we gave him the boot, one go each, and then it was blood, not song or vomit, that came out of his filthy old rot. Then we went on our way. It was round by the old municipal power plant that we came across Billy Boy and his five droogs. Now, in those days, my brothers, the teaming up was mostly by fours or fives, these being like auto teams, four being a comfy number for an auto and six being the outside limit for gang size. Sometimes gangs would gang up so as to make like Malenki armies for a big night war, but mostly it was best to roam in these like small numbers. Billy Boy was something that made me want to sick just to viddy his fat grinning litso, and he always had this von of very stale oil that's been used for frying over and over, even when he was dressed in his best platties, like now. They vidded us just as we vidded them, and there was like a very quiet kind of watching each other now. This would be real. This would be proper. This would be the Noz, the Uzi, the Britva, not just fisties and boots. Billy Boy and his droogs stopped what they were doing which was just getting ready to perform something on a weepy young Dvotchka they had there, not more than 10, she creeching away but with her platties still on, Billy Boy holding her by one rooker and his number one Leo holding the other. They'd probably just been doing the dirty Slovo part of the act before getting down to a malenky bit of ultra-violence. When they vidded us a-coming, they let go of this boo-hooing little petitza, there being plenty more where she came from, and she ran, with her thin white legs flashing through the dark, still going, "Oh! Oh! Oh!" I said, smiling very wide and droogy, "Well, if it isn't fat, stinking Billy Goat Billy Boy in poison, how art thou, thou globby bottle of cheap, stinking chip oil? Come and get one in the yarbles, if you have any yarbles, you eunuch jelly thou." And then we started. There were 4 of us to 6 of them, like I have already indicated, but poor old Dim, for all his dimness, was worth 3 of the others in sheer madness and dirty fighting. Dim had a real horror show length of Uzi or chain round his waist, twice wound round, and he unwound this and began to swing it beautiful in the eyes or glazies. Pete and Georgie had good sharp noses, but I, for my own part, had a fine starry horror show cutthroat Brit for which, at that time, I could flash and shine artistic. So there we were, dratsing away in the dark, the old Luna with men on it just coming up, the stars stabbing away as it might be knives, anxious to join in the dratsing. With my Britva, I managed to slit right down the front of one of Billy Boy's Droog's platties, very, very neat, and not even touching the plot under the cloth. Then, in the dratsing, this Droog of Billy Boy's suddenly found himself all opened up like a peapod, with his belly bare and his poor old yarbles showing, and then he got very, very raz-traz, waving and screaming and losing his guard and letting in old Dim with his chain snaking whoosh, so that old Dim chained him right in the glazies, and this Droog of Billy Boy's went tottering off and howling his heart out. We were doing very horror show, and soon we had Billy Boy's number one down underfoot, blinded with old Dim's chain, and crawling and howling about like an animal, but with one fair boot on the Gulliver, he was out and out and out. Of the 4 of us, Dim, as usual, came out the worst in point of looks. That is to say, his litso was all bloodied and his platties a dirty mess, but the others of us were still cool and whole. It was stinking, fatty Billy Boy I wanted now. And there I was, dancing about with my Britva like I might be a barber on board a ship on a very rough sea, trying to get in at him with a fair few slashes on his unclean, oily litso. Billy Boy had a noz, a long flick type, but he was a malenky bit too slow and heavy in his movements to vred anyone really bad. And, my brothers, it was real satisfaction to me to waltz left 2-3, right 2-3, and carve left cheeky and right cheeky, so that, like, 2 curtains of blood seemed to pour out at the same time, one on either side of his fat, filthy, oily snout in the winter starlight. Down this blood poured in, like, red curtains, but you could viddy Billy Boy felt not a thing, and he went lumbering on like a filthy, fatty bear poking at me with his noz. Then we slooshied the sirens and knew the militants were coming, with pushkas pushing out of the police auto windows at the ready. That little weepied Vochka had told them, no doubt, there being a box for calling the Rozes not too far behind the Muni power plant. "Get you soon, fear not," I called, "stinking Billy Goat. I'll have your yarbles off, lovely." Then off they ran, slow and panting, except for number one Leo out snoring on the ground, away north towards the river, and we went the other way. Just round the next turning was an alley, dark and empty and open at both ends, and we rested there, panting fast, then slower, then breathing like normal. It was like resting between the feet of two terrific and very enormous mountains, these being the flat blocks, and in the windows of all the flats, you could vidi like blue dancing light. This would be the telly. Tonight was what they called a world cast, meaning that the same programme was being vidied by everyone in the world that wanted to, that being mostly the middle-aged, middle-class ludies. There would be some big famous stupid comic Chelovic or black singer, and it was all being bounced off the special telly-satellites in outer space, my brothers. We waited, panting, and we could slushy the sirening Millicents going east, so we knew we were all right. But poor old Dim kept looking up at the stars and planets and the lunar with his rot wide open like a kid who'd never vidded any such thing before, and he said, "What's on them, I wonder? What would be up there on things like that?" I nudged him hard, saying, "Come, gloopy bastard as thou art, think thou not on them. There'll be life, like down here, most likely, with some getting knifed and some others doing the knifing. And now, with the notchy still Molodoy, let us be on our way, O my brothers." The others smacked at this, but poor old Dim looked at me, serious, then up again at the stars and the lunar. So we went on our way down the alley, with the world cast blueing on either side. What we needed now was an auto, so we turned left coming out of the alley, knowing right away we were in Priestly Place as soon as we vidded the big bronze statue of some starry poet with an apy upper lip and a pipe stuck in a droopy old rot. Going north, we came to the filthy old Filmdrome peeling and dropping to bits through nobody going there much except Malchicks like me and my droogs, and then only for a yell or a razrez or a bit of in-out in the dark. We could vidi from the poster on the Filmdrome's face a couple of fly-dirted spots trained on it that there was the usual cowboy riot, with the Archangels on the side of the US Marshal six-shooting at the rustlers out of Hell's Fighting Legions, the kind of hound and horny vesh put out by State Film in those days. The autos parked by the cine weren't all that horror show, crappy starry veshes most of them, but there was a newish Durango 95 that I thought might do. Georgie had one of these polyclefs, as they call them, on his keyring, so we were soon aboard. Dim and Pete at the back, puffing away lordly on their cancers, and I turned on the ignition and started her up, and she grumbled away real horror show, a nice warm vibratey feeling grumbling all through your gutty wuts. Then I made with the Noga, and we backed out lovely, and nobody vidded us take off. We fillied round what was called the back town for a bit, scaring old Vex and Chinas that were crossing the roads and zigzagging after cats and that. Then we took the road west. There wasn't much traffic about, so I kept pushing the old Noga through the floorboards near, and the Durango 95 ate up the road like spaghetti. Soon it was winter trees and dark, my brothers, with a country dark, and at one place I ran over something big with a snarling, toothy rot in the headlamps. Then it screamed and squelched under, and old Dim at the back near laughed his gulliver off, "Ho, ho, ho," at that. Then we saw one young Malchick with his sharp, lubby-lubbing under a tree, so we stopped and cheered at them. Then we bashed into them both with a couple of half-hearted tolchocks, making them cry, and on we went. What we were after now was the old surprise visit. That was a real kick and good for smecks and lashings of the ultra-violent. We came at last to a sort of village, and just outside this village was a small sort of a cottage on its own with a bit of a garden. The lunar was well up now, and we could vidi this cottage fine and clear as I eased up and put the brake on, the other three giggling like Bazoomney and we could vidi the name on the gate of this cottage fesh was Home, a gloopy sort of a name. I got out of the auto, ordering my droogs to shush their giggles and act like serious, and I opened this malenki gate and walked up to the front door. I knocked, nice and gentle, and nobody came. So I knocked a bit more, and this time I could slushy somebody coming, then a bolt drawn, then the door inched open an inch or so, then I could vidi this one glaz looking out at me, and the door was on a chain.
Yes? Who is it?
It was a sharps galos, a youngish devotchka by her sound, so I said in a very refined manner of speech, a real gentleman's galos, "Pardon, madam, most sorry to disturb you, but my friend and me were out for a walk, and my friend has taken bad all of a sudden with a very troublesome turn, and he is out there on the road, dead out and groaning. Would you have the goodness to let me use your telephone to telephone for an ambulance?"
"We haven't a telephone," said this devotchka. "I'm sorry, but we haven't. You'll have to go somewhere else."
From inside this malenki cottage, I could slushy the clack, clack, clacky, clack, clack, clackety, clack, clack of some vec typing away, and then the typing stopped, and there was this Chelovix galos calling, "What is it, dear?"
"Well," I said, "could you, of your goodness, please let him have a cup of water? It's like a faint, you see. It seems as though he's passed out in a sort of fainting fit."
The devotchka sort of hesitated and then said,
"Wait."
Then she went off, and my three droogs had got out of the auto quiet and crept up horror show stealthy, putting their maskies on now. Then I put mine on. Then it was only a matter of me putting in the old rooker and undoing the chain, me having softened up this devotchka with my gent's galos, so that she hadn't shut the door like she should have done, us being strangers of the... The four of us then went roaring in, old Dim playing the shoot as usual with his jumping up and down and singing out dirty slovos, and it was a nice malenki cottage, I'll say that. We all went smacking into the room with a light on, and there was this devotchka sort of cowering, a young pretty bit of sharp with real horror show grudies on her, and with her was this Chelovec who was her mooge, youngish too, with horned-rimmed hotchkeys on him, and on the table there was a typewriter and all papers scattered everywhere, but there was only one little pile of paper like that must have been what he'd already typed. So here was another intelligent-type bookman type like that we'd fiddled with some hours back, but this one was a writer, not a reader. Anyway, he said, "What is this? Who are you? How dare you enter my house without permission?" And all the time his galos was trembling and his rookers too. So I said, "Never fear. If fear thou hast in thy heart, O brother, pray banish it forthwith." Then Georgie and Pete went out to find the kitchen while old Dim waited for orders, standing next to me with his rot wide open. "What is this, then?" I said, picking up the pile of light typing from off of the table. And the horned-rimmed mooge said, dithering, "That's just what I want to know. What is this? What do you want? Get out at once before I throw you out." So poor old Dim, masked like P.B. Shelley, had a good loud smack at that, roaring like some animal. "It's a book," I said. "It's a book, what you are writing." I made the old galos very coarse. "I have always had the strongest admiration for them as can write books." Then I looked at its top sheet, and there was the name, A Clockwork Orange. And I said, "That's a fair gloopy title. Who ever heard of A Clockwork Orange?" Then I read a malenki bit out loud in a sort of very high-type preaching galos. "The attempt to impose upon man, a creature of growth and capable of sweetness, to ooze juicily at the last round the bearded lips of God, to attempt to impose, I say, laws and conditions appropriate to a mechanical creation against this,
I raise my sword pen.
Dim made the old lip music at that, and I had to smack myself. Then I started to tear up the sheets and scatter the bits over the floor, and this writer mooge went sort of bazoomy and made for me with his zoobies clenched and showing yellow and his nails ready for me like claws. So that was old Dim's cue, and he went grinning and going, and for this vexed, dithering rot. Crack, crack, first left fisty, then right, so that our dear old Droog the Red, red vino on tap, and the same in all places, like it's put out by the same big firm, started to pour and spot the nice clean carpet and the bits of his book that I was still ripping away at, raz-rez, raz-rez. All this time, this Dvotchka, his loving and faithful wife, just stood like froze by the fireplace, and then she started letting out little malenki creatures like in time to the like music of old Dim's fisty work. Then Georgie and Pete came in from the kitchen, both munching away, though with their maskies on. You could do that with them on and no trouble. Georgie with like a cold leg of something in one rooker and half a loaf of Kleb with a big dollop of Maslow on it in the other, and Pete with a bottle of beer frothing its Gulliver off and a horror show rooker full of like plum cake. They went haw haw, videoing old Dim dancing around and fisting the writer vex so that the writer vex started to platch like his life's work was ruined, going boo-hoo-hoo with a very square bloody rot, but it was haw-haw-haw in a muffled eater's way, and you could see bits of what they were eating. I didn't like that, it being dirty and slobbery, so I said, "Drop that mounch, I gave no permission. Grab hold of this vec here so he can vidy all and not get away." So they put down their fatty pishka on the table among all the flying paper, and they clopped over to the writer vec, whose horn-rimmed otchkies were cracked but still hanging on, with old Dim still dancing around and making ornaments shake on the mantelpiece. I swept them all off then, and they couldn't shake no more, little brothers, while he fillied with the author of A Clockwork Orange, making his litzo all purple and dripping away like some very special sort of a juicy fruit. "All right, Dim," I said, "now, for the other vesh, bog help us all." So, he did the strong man on the Dvotchka, who was still creech, creech, creeching away in very horror show four in a bar, locking her rookers from the back, while I ripped away at this and that and the others going haw, haw, haw still, and real good horror show grudies they were that then exhibited their pink glassies, oh my brothers, while I untrussed and got ready for the plunge. Plunging, I could slushy cries of agony in this writer bleeding vec that Georgie and Pete held on to nearly got loose, howling bazoomly with the filthiest of slovos that I already knew, and others he was making up. Then, after me, it was right old Dim should have his turn, which he did in a beasty, snorty, howly sort of a way with his PB Shelley masky taking no notice, while I held on to her. Then there was a changeover, Dim and me grabbing the slobbering writer vec, who was past struggling, really, only just coming out with slack sort of slovos like he was in the land in a milk plus bar, and Pete and Georgie had theirs. Then there was, like, quiet, and we were full of, like, hate, so smashed what was left to be smashed. Typewriter, lamp, chairs, and Dim. It was typical of old Dim, watered the fire out and was going to dung on the carpet, there being plenty of paper, but I said no. "Ow, ow, ow, out!" I howled. The writer vec and his Xena were not really there, bloody and torn and making noises, but they'd live. So we got into the waiting auto, and I left it to Georgie to take the wheel, me feeling that malenki bit shagged. And we went back to town, running over odd squealing things on the way.